I'm so excited when I hear about our brothers and sisters who are this morning right now in Honduras sharing the gospel and helping and encouraging and treating our neighbors. I'm so excited when I think about our brothers and sisters all over the world who are doing mission work. And I hope that there are young people in this room right now who decide to commit their entire lives to mission work. I hope that there's a young man in this room right now who 15 or 20 years from now is standing here doing what I'm doing. I hope that there are children in our children's Bible classes who just a few years from now will be teaching those Bible classes. I'm excited about the mission work going on all over the world. But Collin County is a mission field. And do you know who the missionaries are who were sent to Collin County? You, me, us. This is our mission field, church. This is our mission field. And our neighbors need to hear the good news about Jesus. The last few weeks, we've been showing some videos talking about called to more and how we are called to more. And I want us to think this morning about how we are called to more outreach. And I'm going to show another video to share with you some of the ways that you are already having an influence on the people in our community, how you are already doing so much outreach, and how the Lord is calling us to more.
I was drawn in by, a lot of it was like the outward focus. The focus of the church was not self-centered, but on how to present themselves as a reflection of Jesus, and then just looking for opportunities and celebrating opportunities to make a difference in the community.
I do see that the church is doing its best to try to find ways to get others involved. So my mother-in-law, you know, she doesn't speak English very well, and so when, you know, this Wordly app got introduced, I was just super excited that, you know, I could bring her. You know, she's able to listen to the Word. That just makes me happy that the church is doing that. We went to a few churches that was just English, and I was like, you know, that's great. And but I had always been praying for my mother-in-law that God would allow her to come to become a Christian. And so God has opened up a lot for us here. And I'm very thankful for that. So I see that the church is trying to find ways to help even those that don't necessarily speak that also need to be reached out to. That brings me a lot of happiness and a lot of joy.
This church is not just like a building. The people here is very love. This is like our family. And they give you hugs, you know, and they know your name. You know, every time we walk in, we feel like we're home.
Our mission at McDermott Road is the same mission that Christians have had for 2,000 years, to make disciples, to help people become more like Jesus. And that's what we're trying to do every single day with one another and with our community. This community is a mission field. Many communities in the United States are post-Christian. That is, most people come from sort of a Christian background. But in our community, there are a lot of people that haven't even learned about Jesus yet. And we get the privilege and the opportunity to share Jesus with them, many of them, for the very first time. We want to tell the whole world that Jesus is the King.
One of the reasons we chose McDermott is because there was already an existing FriendSpeak program here. And my wife wanted to find another church where it existed, because that's how we've served in the past. See, everyone has their own interests and passions. Mine has always been evangelism, and this is a perfect outlet for me and our family.
I love to be a member of this church. So
yeah, I remember the first time Don came, he says, I just love this church. He said, I've never been to a church where the entire church is in the choir.
Yeah, this, isn't it cool?
Yeah.
Yeah. They want to know about me, just very friendly. And I see the many church members try to get involved in this, yeah, FriendSpeak. Yeah, I see a lot of new people coming in.
So what I love about McDermott Road is that it felt like home from day one. The ministry, Embrace Grace, really brought me from a very challenging point in my life. The church here just brought me in and treated me like family, treated my kids like family. I would love to see like other women have that same experience as well.
If it weren't for McDermott Road and our family here, my life would look so different. being called to more just means so much to me. And I want to be able to give that to my kids, my husband, and we're all called to that. When we have these gifts and these talents that are not from us, we cannot let those go to waste. I know that being called to more means to take those things and glorify God through that and to serve Him with that and to share that with others. All of us are called to more, and that we should not be ashamed or afraid or shy away from the opportunity that God gives us, especially at this home that we have here.
We want to tell the whole world what it means and how it benefits them to become more like Jesus. The Lord is calling us. God is calling you and me and every one of us to do more in outreach. We do believe that we are called to more.
I love you, church. I love what you are already doing to reach so many people. And I love the potential we have here. I love the potential in each and every one of us to do more and to reach more. But it is very easy, isn't it, in every aspect of our Christian life to get stuck if we're not careful, isn't it? To have the best of intentions, to want to do more, to want to go further, to want to do and be and become all the things that Jesus is calling us to be. But then somewhere along the line, to get stuck. Did you know that happened in the first century as well? That happened with the very first Christians. They got stuck as well. And we want to avoid that. And we want to make sure that all along the way, we are becoming the people that God is calling us to be. If you have your Bible, look at Acts chapter 11 and verse 19. Acts chapter 11 and verse 19. Of course, the disciples were told by Jesus before he ascended into heaven that he was sending them into the world to share the good news, to make disciples. That is, to teach people to follow Jesus and how to become more like Jesus. And they were supposed to go not only to Jerusalem and Judea and then to Samaria and to the very ends of the earth. But somewhere along the line, they got a little bit stuck. Listen to Acts chapter 11 and verse 19. Now those who were scattered because of the persecution that arose over Stephen, Stephen was the first Christian martyr, the first follower of Jesus who was killed for his faith, and there was a persecution that arose from that. And those that were scattered traveled as far as Phoenicia and Cyprus and Antioch, speaking the word to no one except Jews. Speaking the word to no one except Jews. For a while, they were just in Jerusalem, but then when the persecution broke out, they kind of got pushed out of Jerusalem. But even when they left Jerusalem, they preached the gospel. They told people Jesus is king, but they just spoke it to people who were like them. People who came from the same background as them. People who had the same perspective as them. That's why this year at McDermott Road, our theme for 2026 is fearless and faithful. That we are called by Jesus to be fearless, to faithfully follow Him into the world. And we're asking ourselves, what's holding me back? What's holding you back? In every aspect, in every area of our life, what's holding us back from becoming the people that Jesus is calling us to be? What's holding us back from doing the things that Jesus called us to do? Jesus called them to go into all the world and speak the gospel, preach the gospel, proclaim the gospel to all creation. And yet, it was so easy to just preach the gospel to people who were like them, who looked like them, who talked like them, who thought like them, who had the same culture and background as them, people that would kind of understand where they were coming from. It was easy to just preach the gospel to people who were like them. But then, verse 20, but there were some of them, men of Cyprus and Cyrene, who on coming to Antioch spoke to the Hellenists also, that is, to the non-Jewish Greeks, preaching the Lord Jesus. And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number who believed turned to the Lord. Now let's talk for a second about how scary that would be, wouldn't it? I mean, if you were just used to talking to other Jewish people about Jesus, when you say the Messiah, they kind of know what you're talking about. They know, oh, the Messiah, you're saying this Jesus of Nazareth who was crucified is the Messiah. He's been raised from the dead and he's God's anointed king. He's the Christ. Okay, I got it. Some of them thought that was pretty weird, very strange, that we would be worshiping, that we would be following a crucified king. That's a pretty weird concept to them. But they knew what they were talking about. Like, if you were talking to people who came from a pagan background, people who worshiped idols, people who came from a Greek or Roman background, to say that Jesus is the Christ, what does that even mean? What do you mean by the Christ? What do you mean that he's the Messiah? He's God's anointed king. Which God? So it would be a scary thing, wouldn't it? To say, let me tell you about the one true God. Let me tell you about Yahweh. Let me tell you about the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. And I know this is very foreign to you. And I know this, you come from a different background and you don't have the same understanding that I do. But I want to share this with you. And so these men of Cyprus and Cyrene, they came to Antioch and they started to be fearless, courageous, bold, faithful in sharing the good news, even with people who came from a very different background. Why? What does Luke say? Why were they able to do this and why did it work? Luke says, the hand of the Lord was with them. That's why. That's why they were bold. That's why they were fearless. That's why they were courageous. That's why they were faithful. That's why they spoke the word, even to people who came from a different background, as scary, as terrifying as that would be. They did it anyway. Why? Because the hand of the Lord was with them. And they were successful. Why? Because the hand of the Lord was with them. Church, do you believe that it's any different for you? Do you believe the hand of the Lord is with you? Do you believe that the hand of the Lord is with us? Then what's holding us back? Then what's stopping us from sharing the gospel? What's stopping us from saying to someone that we know and we love, our neighbor, our coworker, our classmate, our friend, our family member, what's stopping us from saying, you know, this is scary for me, and I don't really even know how to broach this conversation with you, but would you be interested in talking about this? Like, what's stopping us from having those conversations? When someone tells you that they're scared, when somebody tells you that they're hurting, when somebody tells you that they're going through a hard time, when somebody tells you that they're addicted to something, when somebody tells you that they're grieving something, what's stopping you from saying, do you know how I get through moments like that? Do you know who has helped me? Do you believe that the hand of the Lord is with you? Now, does that mean that everybody's going to respond positively to the gospel? Of course not. They didn't respond positively every time to Jesus or to the apostles. But a great number of people believed because the hand of the Lord was with them. And the hand of the Lord is with us to be fearless and faithful, to be the missionaries who have been called to Collin County, to reach our neighbors from every background, every ethnicity, every religious group, to share with the whole world, starting with our neighborhood, that Jesus is King. Look at chapter 11, verse 22. Luke says, the report of this came to the ears of the church in Jerusalem, and they sent Barnabas to Antioch. Remember Barnabas? When he came and saw the grace of God, he was glad, and he exhorted them all to remain faithful to the Lord with steadfast hope or steadfast purpose, for he was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and of faith, and a great many people were added to the Lord. I love this phrase. He saw the what of God? The grace of God. He saw the grace of God. How do you see the grace of God? Barnabas saw the grace of God. How do you see the grace of God? You see, grace means gift. He could see. He got to Antioch and he could see Jews and Gentiles believing in the Messiah Jesus. coming together in worship, embracing each other as brothers and sisters, even though they came from a different religious background, a different ethnic background. They came from all different kinds of different traditions and cultures, and now they were embracing each other as family. And Barnabas saw this. He saw the effects of the grace of God. He saw the tangible difference that the grace of God makes. He saw walls being broken down. He saw people's bitterness and resentment and what we would call racism and bigotry melt away, and them embracing one another in Christ. He saw the grace of God. He saw the effects of God's grace. And I want to ask you, can you see the grace of God in this room? I can. I look out at you every single week and I see the grace of God. I see what God's grace is doing in you, what God's grace is doing for you, the way God's grace is transforming you and changing you and knitting you together, not just with Himself, but with each other. God's grace can be seen. The effects of His grace can be seen. And the more we share the gospel with others, the more that a great many people are added to the Lord, the more we all see God's grace in action. Look at verse 25. So Barnabas went to Tarsus to look for Saul. And when he found him, he brought him to Antioch. For a whole year, they met with the church and taught a great many people. And in Antioch, the disciples were first called what, church? Christians. First called Christians. This word, Christians, in Greek, Christianos, it's kind of a Latin formulation of words. So it came from the Roman kind of way of thinking, of sort of adding this I-A-N-O-S to the end of a word. In fact, it's kind of a political way of forming a word, to say these people are of this person, or they are in association with this. We sort of use the same sort of suffix on the end of our words sometimes, don't we? We say Texan, right? Or we say American or Republican or partisan. We say these people are associated with this, or they belong to this party. And so the people in Antioch, they were kind of confused, I think, about these disciples of Jesus. And they're like, what do we call these people? What do we call these people who are always talking about this Jesus guy? They're always talking about how Jesus is the Christ. Well, we call them Christianos. We call them Christians, because that's the party they're associated with. Some of them are Jews, some of them are Greeks, some of them are Romans. They come from different backgrounds. They're a multi-ethnic, multinational, multicultural group of people, but the only person they keep talking about is Jesus. The only thing they really all have in common is that they all say Jesus is the Christ. So what else could we call them but Christianos? They are followers of this Jesus, the Christ. It's interesting, isn't it? That name Christian that we have embraced came probably not from insiders, but from outsiders. It was the nickname that the world chose to call followers of Jesus, disciples. So do we have a nickname? Do we have a nickname? If we were to ask people in our community, if we were to go around Collin County, I mean, would they have a nickname for McDermott Road? Would they have a nickname for followers of Jesus? What would they call us? What would they call you? Are you known for something? Are you known for something in your workplace? Like, that person is this kind of person. If they had to put you in a group, if they had to put a name to what you are, what would they call you? And what they called followers of Jesus were Christians, because that's all they could come up with, because they kept talking about Jesus. And this church at Antioch, they taught a great many people. They taught Jews, they taught Gentiles, and eventually they would be the church that would first send Paul and Barnabas on their very first missionary journey together to go and teach even more Jews and even more Gentiles and the whole world that Jesus is the Christ. Is that what drives you? Is that what drives us? I just want to tell everybody that Jesus is King, that Jesus reigns. I want to tell people who Jesus is and the difference that Jesus makes in my life. So let me ask you this question. How can you help reach and teach more people? How can you help reach and teach more people? You might think, well, I'm not a teacher, Wes. And I think that's a good thing to reflect on. In fact, the little brother of Jesus, James, he said, not many of you should be teachers. So it's okay if you look at yourself and you say, that's not the gift that I have. I'm not a teacher. That's all right. In fact, it's good for us to recognize that these are my gifts. That's not necessarily one of my gifts, but we are all called to help reach and teach this community, aren't we? So what is it that you can do to help reach and teach more people? I would say number one is pray. Pray. When's the last time you prayed specifically for your Islamic neighbors or your Hindu neighbors or your agnostic neighbors or your neighbors who used to be churchgoers but now really don't have any use for Jesus? When's the last time you prayed for people that you know by name who are not following Jesus and ask God for opportunities to help you share the good news with them? Are we praying for specific people in our lives and also for our community in general? Because it is only when the hand of God is with us that we have the boldness, the fearlessness, the faithfulness to share the good news with our community. It is only when the hand of God is with us that we're successful when we share the good news with our community. It is only the grace of God that changes people's lives. So when people's lives are changed, it's not because, oh, way to go, we did a good job, pat ourselves on the back. When people's lives are changed, we say, ah, there it is. There's God's grace at work again, transforming people and changing people. Are we praying for that transformation? Are we praying for that change? Are we praying for that change in general? Are we praying that we ourselves will be fearless and faithful in sharing it? Number two, how about volunteer for an existing ministry? There are so many ministries. We've said several times already, teach children's Bible class. We need people to share Jesus with our kids. You could teach children's Bible class. You could help them to know that Jesus is King. You are doing your part in helping to reach our community and our world by teaching our own children. But you could also volunteer for things like FriendSpeak or Thrive or Embrace Grace or World Bible School. You don't have to be a teacher in order to volunteer for some of the ministries that already exist. Find a ministry that exists and say, how can I help? How can I help? See, when we talk about this Called to More initiative, it's not just about accommodating ourselves. It's about reaching more people in our community, in our world, and asking, how can I get involved in what's already happening? And how can I help to expand what's already happening? Or how about this? Number three, start a new study. Start a new study. Find a way to say, hey, can we study together? Maybe it's one-on-one. Maybe it's a whole group of people. Maybe you say, hey, come over to my house. Come over to this place, and we'll have a group Bible study. Maybe you're not even the teacher. Maybe you're just the facilitator, and you ask a minister or an elder or a friend to come and teach the class, and you just facilitate it. Find a way. Find a way to share the gospel. And of course, as Jesus said, we're just planting seeds and we're watering them. You're not in control of whether or not that seed takes root or whether or not it produces fruit. The Lord is the one who gives the growth. It's His grace that changes lives. It's His hand that makes the difference. But we have to participate, don't we? I mean, we just sang this beautiful song, Shine, Jesus, shine. Fill the nations. Change the land. Yes, praise God. Absolutely. We should be singing that and praying that. But we also have to be participating in that. It's one thing to say, I wish everyone could hear about Jesus. It's another thing to say, what's my part in that? What's your part in that? How can you participate in that? Pray, volunteer, start something, share the good news with others, because we are all called to reach and teach more people. We are all called to reach and teach more people. We personally, you personally, me personally, but us together as a congregation. You're not out there all by yourself. You're not a lone ranger. It's us together. We are called to reach and teach more people, to tell this city and this county and this part of North Texas and as much as we can the world, Jesus is King. And he changes people's lives. And we want you to know that good news. Because when we come to Jesus, when we commit ourselves in baptism, when we ask Jesus, by the grace of God, to forgive our sins and to give us the gift of the Holy Spirit and to begin to transform our lives, what we are committing to when we're baptized is, Jesus, I want to be exactly like you. I want to think like you think. I want to talk like you talk. I want to act like you act. I want to be like you. I want you to be my rabbi, my teacher, my king, and I want to be your follower, your student, your apprentice, your disciple. And part of what that means to become more like Jesus is to make Jesus known, to make Jesus known. Part of how we make Jesus known is in the actions that we do, in the things that we do, without ever saying a word. But at some point, you have to say a word. They can't know the gospel. They can't have faith unless they hear it spoken. And that's up to us. If we don't tell them, who will? If we don't tell them, who will? If they don't know that Jesus is King, they cannot be forgiven of their sins. They cannot receive the gift of eternal life. They cannot receive the gift of the Holy Spirit unless they hear the gospel. And if we don't tell them, who will? So that's what we're committing ourselves to when we're baptized, is to become like Jesus. And part of becoming like Jesus is to make Jesus known. And maybe there's somebody here this morning, and you've thought about it for a long time. You've studied about it. You're ready to commit your life to Jesus, to be forgiven of your sins, to receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, and to begin a lifelong journey of following him. Or maybe you made that commitment. But to be honest, you've gotten stuck. You've gotten stuck doing the things that you've always done. The things that are comfortable, the things that come easily, the things that come naturally. And you need to recommit your life to being fearless and being faithful. You need to recommit your life to Jesus and to making him known. Or maybe this morning, to be honest, you're struggling, you're hurting, and you need to see Jesus in action. You need to see his love through your brothers and sisters in Christ. There is nothing in the world that our shepherds would rather do than pray with you in the prayer room after service, or you can come forward and see the love of Christ in your brothers and sisters as together we stand and sing this song.